what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life but smile. You may be on candid camera. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Never forget, media making everyone dumber in America. That's right. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I was bored and I needed something to do. Thank you. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy, like this. What can our prayer warriors pray for you about? Ooh, good one. What can we be praying for you about? Now, a couple things to get into real quickly. I'm going to tell you how to reach us and all this other stuff. But we do not forget September 11th. We do not forget it, and in the second segments of the show, we will be doing a little bit of a tribute there. For those that do forget, don't forget, because it is a significant moment that took place in our country, and it is important. And yes, the Lord is well aware of what took place. Thank you very much. And so we'll talk about that, and I just want to make sure that we give honor where honor is due, credit where credit is due, and by the grace of God, we still have a nation. Although if we don't get it together relatively soon, that could be an interesting question in and of itself. But here we have this. We have you having an opportunity to have prayer. People pray for you, which is totally awesome. If you have something that's going on, we want you to reach out to us. If you have a praise report, and we've learned even just in going through the passages and scriptures, Psalm 40 talking about that when you have the Lord put you on a new rock and he puts a new song in your mouth and you sing that song, that other people hear it and trust in the Lord. That's the power of praise. So we want you to be able to reach out and do that with us. How you get in touch with us? Well, that's interesting. We're going to tell you that right now. What's the answer to that? Well, you just got to call us. It's a telephone. What? I know. It's amazing. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you dial, oh, it's powerful. When you dial 972-445-0770, you end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite. Dynamite!
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like hitting into the week with great faith and expectation.
That is how we approach Mondays.
That is what you do with Monday. You don't let Monday be the blue. You make sure that Monday is in sync with what you are in the Lord. How about this? This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, that sounds a lot better than Blue Monday. Oh, it's my birthday. Stop doing that, right? That's just silly. You can call us, you know, and you can also text us. And this is for praise reports. This is for prayer requests. Maybe you got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. It's not for a kvetch fest. You can do that somewhere else. We're just not doing that right here. But you can text us as well. It won't hurt you either. You just text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Not quite professional voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
I watched a great deal of sci-fi over the weekend, so I got a lot of sci-fi robotic stuff going through my brain. Additionally, by the way, you can send us an email. That's always fun, by the way. You can send us an email, david@hemusincrease.org, david@hemusincrease.org. And so what I want you to do is be aware that if you send an email to david@hemusincrease.org, that David, that's me, @hemusincrease.org will respond. That's what I want you to know. I'm going to send you up to the website. We do have somebody calling in. We'll get to them in a minute. But I want to send you up to the website for a couple of different reasons. Number one, there's great stuff on the website. There's video, there's audio, there's articles. Number two, there's also access to 4,500 hours. 4,500.
That's quite a bit, Dave.
There's over 10,000 Bible studies in there. So just like, go for it. Anyhow, you're welcome to access those. They're free. There's free this. There's free that. Of course, doing all this stuff in ministry is not free because I'm not a self-evolved billionaire. Millionaire.
No private jet.
Watch this. I'm not a hundredaire. A load of thousandaire or anything else there. All right. So here's the bottom line to that. So we exist off the donations. And here, look. Do you want me to do this? I'll do this. Ready? I'll do this real quickly. Reach down in your pocket and pull out the green that does make this machine move. Okay, that's the ridiculous. You want to help us fulfill the ministry that the Lord has set before us and be a partner in that? Please do so. Join together with us. And if you give, we will give you a receipt at the end of the year from our 100% tax-deductible donation of a nonprofit corporation. It's just that simple. You got to do it all, though, on the website. You can do it other ways, and it does tell you on the website, but it's the easiest on the website. I'll say that. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
There you go. All right, we have somebody calling in. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, good afternoon. This is Sergio.
Hey, Sergio. How are you, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And by the way, thank you. As you know, I'm thanking you for something between you and I appreciate that very much. Talk to me, man. How are things?
Good, good. And you're welcome, David. Thank you so much. So I'm reading the Bible now, and I'm in Revelation now. And so here's my question to you. So I was somewhat taken aback I want you to expand on this. So I don't have my Bible with me right now, right? But there's some red lettering there also in Revelation where God speaks. And on one of them it says I hate. He mentioned that like twice.
Yep.
Why is that? Can you put it more in context? And I guess that's just I just need you to describe to me a little bit more explanation as to why God would actually say I hate.
Yeah, gotcha. That's a great question, a totally fair question. In fact, way before Revelation, he says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. So way before that even comes into play is another passage, and you're thinking, well, why is it the Lord does that? And there's a couple of reasons for that. But what we use as hate now has become hate is anything that if you don't agree with me, I hate you. You know, it's like society has changed. Even they've changed the word love, they changed the word hate, they changed the word gay, they changed the word, you know, every other possible word. They've changed the rainbow. I mean, that's because mankind has a great propensity to take something that simple and make it complex, like eternal life. Oh, no. Well, we're going to mess that up. Watch this. So the idea behind it is he's giving distinction between what is good and what is bad, what he favors and what he does not favor. It's not that the Lord hates in the way that we think of Hitler hating the Jews. That might be a great illustration to say it. But in contrast, what he does hate, and in some of these situations, he hates these false teachings that are separating people from him because they're going to cast those people away into hell, and he hates that. And so he hates the people that deliver that message. And he, within him, he wants everybody to have this heart towards him. But there are some, much like Satan, who have said, nope, not going to do it, just going to rebel. And then they just are everything against the kingdom. And then their whole goal is to thwart anybody who would try to get into the kingdom. And he hates that. It's just like, why would you do, you know, if you don't want to be in this kingdom, if you want to be part of this, fine, go the other way. But why are you trying to hurt others with your doctrines? Why are you trying to hurt other people with your limited expression of compassion and wisdom because you want them to suffer like you're going to suffer? And he hates that. And that's just the fact of the matter. And people can say, well, no, there's no hate in God. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that at all. There's despisement. There's people that God just, you know, they are so rebellious against him. Their entire premise is to try and belittle him. Well, he gives them the opportunity to repent, but they don't take it. He gives them the opportunity to yield, but they don't respond to it. And so he says, okay, you know what? I've given you this opportunity. I've said it before you. You've denied it. You're now trying to go after other people and wound them. I hate that. And that's just the truth of the matter. People don't like that. But again, that's the way, and people are like this. Like, no, he can't have any hate in him. And I know Nancy Pelosi said there's never any hate in God. Well, you know, she should read Proverbs where he says, you know, six things I hate, yea, seven, and two of them are a lying tongue. So it's like there's some things God doesn't like. And then he tells you plainly.
Got it.
Is that good?
Yes, thank you so much, David. So that, thank you for that clarification, and thank you so much. Have a great week. And I told you about those lions, man. don't overlook the lions.
Now, I will say, I want to give you props. And how about them Cowboys? I mean, how about them? See, I'm a Denver fan, but I am a Lion loyalist. See that difference? I'm a loyalist. Yeah. So if they win one, for me, it's a winning season.
Have a great week, David. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. God bless you, brother.
Likewise.
Bye-bye. Is that hilarious?
A little lukewarm there, aren't you?
No. I like Dallas. I do. Now look, compared to the Lions, I'm a loyalist. I mean, that'll never change. And it's like, if the Lions, see, they were like 9-8 like last year or whatever, you guys have no idea. That is the celebration.
It really is, Dave.
That is like,
fair.
You just don't understand. It's like, if there's ever been a football team that knows how to lose when they're winning, it's the Lions.
Very correct.
They're brilliant at snatching the jaws of victory right away and replacing it with the jaws of defeat. That's what they are. Okay. All right. So now we do know football season is going on. Yes. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, and then we'll get into our trivia. I just can't stand any of the woke stuff. It just is such an insult to sports.
Well,
it's
Dave, here's the thing, and I know you've noticed this because we hit on it before. I've noticed this in every major sport, Dave, and that's the part that's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, what we have to understand is a societal push, and what they're going to do. So, in case you're trying to figure out, I'm going to just, you know, can I just give? All right, this is really the James Robeson. Can I just download what I think is the stuff that the people need to hear? Okay, I'm going to just do that real quickly, and here's where some of that comes in. What they do, in case you haven't figured this out, is they push the marker so far that when they have to come back and correct, now you're more willing to accept things you never would have ever accepted in the first place. So let's say you have this pendulum, and the pendulum is at zero, and on each side you have a 1, 2, 3, and 4. They push it as far as they can to the 4. Push. Why? Because if there's a correction that they ever make, everybody's going to go, oh, at least they're making this correction. They're making this correction. And it comes back to a 2, and then the 2 becomes the 0. And that's the problem. And you see, when you deal in Christian truth, the truth doesn't go to varieties. It doesn't switch with, because see, cultures change. And I want to say this because I'm super blessed to be an American. I love this country. It's a great country. But countries change. Cultures change. Kings change. Politics change. Leadership changes. God's truth does not change. It is consistent. It is spot on, never differentiating. So you have a question, and you think about what Sergio's question is, and it's brilliant. I just love him because he's brilliant at these things. But it's like, well, wait a minute. But God's not supposed to hate. I mean, even Nancy Pelosi said, no, I don't. She goes, I don't hate Trump. There's no hate. No, I don't hate. And it's like, hey, six things have I hated. Yea, seven that I hate, God said. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Twice within the scriptures. Jesus said, I hate those that teach these Nicolaitans who teach these false things, lead people astray from me. It's like that whole theory, what that theory is everything good is God and everything bad is Satan, and that's the only way it is. It's a terrible theology. It's not true. It's not even close to true. And you think, well, you're trying to say there's bad in God? There's bad if you are defiant to God. There's bad that's coming your way. You know who created that? God. God created that opportunity for you to have that free will. You chose it. You'll suffer the consequences. If he tells you, don't do this or you're going to get pushed, and you do it, guess what? You're getting pushed. That's how it goes. And so what we try to do is we don't want that to be offensive to the world because we don't want God to appear as offensive to the world. Who cares? Those people that reject him are going to reject him until either their softness of their heart is revealed and they come before him in humility. Or they're going to reject him straight through to eternity, and it's not going to happen. And for everybody who's like, well, God, really, he wouldn't create a hell and stick people in there. Well, it's okay if you want to say that, but I have about 38 scriptures in the New Testament alone that completely defy that. It's just like ridiculous. And so it's like, no, these are the standards. This is what you got. You're either going to choose for the kingdom or against the kingdom. The problem for us as Christians is we know that love. We enjoy that love. We appreciate that love. And we want others to have it. And we would want to do almost anything that we know for people that are close to get them to come in. But that's not how it works. You can't coerce a person into the kingdom of God who doesn't want to have anything to do with God. What's amazing, and what you better watch now, I'll just tell you what's going to happen, because, boy, this is more prophetic than I'm going to acknowledge, but they're going to change the word Christian so it means something completely different aside from Christ. That's what they're doing. They're already doing that.
Sound like they're going to blend it together, Dave. I can see that.
You can just see what they're doing and see what is that. Well, then where does our responsibility come? In other words, well, then what do we have to do? Where's our position? Now, I know normally we don't normally do a show like this, but I don't care. So, and if you're in San Diego and you're like going, you can do the trivia question? I don't know. Here's what we're doing. What we're doing is the truth. And the reality is people engage in the truth with God. They have a relationship with God. Then they go out into the world and they can't just, it's like it doesn't sink. It's like there's something wrong. Well, of course it doesn't sink. These are people that either hate God or will not yield to God or submit to God. And so Jesus said, if they hated me, how much more are they going to hate you? If they hated the master of the house, how much are they more going to hate the rest of the people in the house? That's you. And even in Galatians, which we're not through it all yet, but in Galatians in chapter 3, it says if they persecuted the children of promise, the children of the flesh persecuted the children of promise back then, how much more is that true now? And yet we're surprised that there's opposition to our faith. Now this country had a phenomenal break, a phenomenal grace, a phenomenal gift of allowing Christian truths, and Judeo truths, biblical truths, forged in and out and through the process. And then somebody screams, separation church and state, separation church and state. It's not even in the Constitution. Nice try. The big issue about religion is that the state can't create, or the government can't create its own religion, okay? Like China. Okay, that's exactly what it's all about. And then it can't make any comments to thwart any, which they've been thwarting for 75 years. So I'm not sure why everybody's happy about that. The idea behind this is to understand that we had a great fortune, great blessing by the kindness of God, by the grace of God, for us to be able to be a nation and to do as many Christian things as we can. And while they sit there and on stupid cable TV. They go, Christianity, it's the one that started all the slavery and stuff like that. They are oblivious that it was Christianity that brought the end of slavery. It just blows my mind. They don't even understand that. And that the original slavery that was really taking place in Africa had to do with black people enslaving other black people for other purposes. And it was the Christian missionaries that are like, that's not right. That's not right. Where you think the Amazing Grace song came from? It was a guy that was, and he was like, he realized by the grace of God, this is wrong. So it's just like, what they do is they try and twist and maneuver, and then they try and blame, and then, well, you guys did this 300 years ago, so because you did this, you should pay us. Hey, I got one for you. I'm a Jew, and back in the day, we were kicked out of the country of Egypt, and we didn't get any of the oil. I want my 5,000 years of oil royalty check, please, before anybody gets any of their stuff in the last 4,000 years. I want my 5,000 years. Now, how stupid is that? It's like, here's the deal. You're going to have to hold on to your faith. And you're like, but Dave, there's a rapture coming. Yeah, there is. And the formation of that rapture, how that's all going to pan out once that takes place, I understand there's people that are a lot better at it than I am. But here's what I know. Until that happens, we have a responsibility to occupy and to maintain and to keep fighting for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And that means no watering it down, no mixing it. Oh, people aren't going to like this. No mixing it with politics, making the politics, the faith, wrong. Even when politics lines up, that's great, but it's not the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. You need to be dropping in works for the kingdom of God. And by dropping in works for the kingdom of God, you're laying stuff up for heaven. And you know where you're not seeing that reward? On earth. Because Jesus said, lay up treasures for heaven where the moth will not access, where it won't, the rust won't rust away, where it'll be completely safe. He's telling us that to say everything we're doing for the kingdom of God, that's the stuff that we've got to be focusing on, because that's the eternal. Jesus came and destroyed all the stuff that everybody thought, destroyed all of the religiosities by going, this is about eternity. Your 90 years is cute. Why don't you figure out the next 900 million? Now, you realize how everybody was like going, wait, what, what? I gotta pay my bill. I gotta pay rent in order to survive. In 90 years, you'll never, ever, 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 ever have another thought about rent. But you'll have a lot of thought about what you're doing in eternity. Like, uh-oh.
And Dave, think about this. You know, going back to Sergio's question in the beginning of this about what God hates. If you notice, Dave, within the, I'll say, 15 years, how what's normal and right is immoral and wrong. God hates that because it's against his design. You know what I'm talking about, Dave.
It is entirely the creation trying to become the creator. It's just, it's like, oh. Just seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know what this, and we've talked about this, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. To seek first is to set your mind to it. It's to set your heart to it. You want to seek first the kingdom of God? Then the foremost of your thoughts and the foremost of your feelings are towards the kingdom of God. And I understand. It's a world you have to live in, but I also understand, you know, this happened to me this weekend. I got a minute. Wow. Must have been wound up or something. Anyway, here's the bottom line. I was looking at, did my devotions. It was great. It was phenomenal. And then I checked out the news. And then all of a sudden I went, this is so stupid. Everybody lives off the lies of the headlines. I just closed my computer.
Watching it was your mistake.
I just closed the computer. Just watched Michigan destroy every team that it faced. That's all. That's right. Michigan. That's right. You better watch out this year. That's all I'm going to say. Anyhow, TCU might not be there. Okay. Anyhow, what I am trying to say is focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on your relationship with the Lord. Right relationship develops right ministry. Stay in the kingdom. Don't get saturated by the world. Don't be influenced by the things that you hear or see. Be influenced by him whom you spend time with. When you were in church in that moment when everybody was singing, you had that one moment while you were singing and praising and worshiping God where nothing mattered. Remember that? How about living like that? I want to. They did one song in the church I went to. Noel had to work, so I went to Crossroads Church in Rowlett, and they did one song. It was just like for that one moment, it was like the universe doesn't matter. The universe behind me. All that matters is the Lord. It's like so great. That's like the best stuff. All right, little different intro. This is what you get when we don't think it through. That's how it goes. If you are in, by the way, San Diego, nobody was trying to slight you, even though the old Chargers didn't win, even though they're L.A. Chargers now. You can keep listening to this show by going to hemusincrease.org and then hit listen live. We are going to be talking about September 11th, plus we're also going to be doing some teaching that I think is pretty phenomenal. If you are in Dallas, hang out. We're going to take a short break and then come back. God bless. Don't go anywhere.
Time is over, all of mankind, destroying everyone.
And what the whole teaching has to do with is the dissatisfaction that people have who are worldly when the divine is involved. I want you to hear that line. That's the big line. That's the big connector between all of this. The worldly are never satisfied if divinity is involved. So the example Jesus says is, you know, we played the flute for you, right? And the flute, you know, woo, the flute, yay, happy sounds, right? And the people are like, no. And it's like, okay, well, we sang a dirge for you, right? What'd you sing at a funeral, right? And the people are like, no. And then John the Baptist, he says, comes, and John the Baptist is as straight as you can get. We would call him, a massive teetotaler might be fair enough to say. And he says he's not eating bread, he's not drinking any wine. And you people, the way you respond, you go, hey, he's got a demon. And then Jesus, he says, I come, Son of Man comes, I'm eating and drinking. And then what do the people do? They extreme it out and they say, he's a glutton because he's eating, not eating more than he should, just eating. And he's a drunkard because he had wine. You see, this is the thing. The thing is that the world and the worldly are never satisfied. That's why I said that connection to the song. And don't get mad at me that I used a Rolling Stone song. It's not my fault. They wrote a song called I Can't Get No Satisfaction. This is the Lord trying to reach people at different levels, and people keep going, no, 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 no. And it's nonstop. And there's just no satisfying them. And even the one thing that I would say, and I've said this before in the beginning of this broadcast, and I don't really care about your political affiliations, but when people get going in a certain direction, you can't move them one way or another. And when the media was all over Donald Trump, it's fair to say that had he helped cure cancer with research, they would have accused Donald Trump of putting people out of business who were in the cancer business. It's just like that's exactly what they would have done. Everybody knows that. And it's because that's how the mentality is. If somebody comes along and does something that's good and it's not appreciative to the world or they don't like it, they will rip it to shreds. You can't play the flute. You can't sing a dirge. You can't be Johnny the Baptist. And you can't be Jesus Christ because none of those things satisfy. We want exactly what we want, which, by the way, they don't even know what they want. That's the irony. It's God that's giving the opportunity for people to get the answers, and people are so inwardly confused because of Satan, they wouldn't know a good thing if it split them in the eyeballs. That's the problem.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.